See you soon, brother, the illegal one. Dear Jonesy, congratulations in advance for what will surely be your historical entry into the Guinness Book of World Records. In all honesty, though, I have to tell you that as an ex-substance abuser who has himself stayed up for days at a time, I never thought to contact Guinness about any of my own historical sleep deprivation experiments. Besides, I don't know if they have a category for my former condition anyway. Your appearance from just last night to this morning has begun to take on that glossy look I know far too well. As far as hallucinations are concerned, I never experienced any that weren't drug-induced because of lack of sleep. What did happen, however, was time seemed to have collapsed. On the third day of having no sleep, I would mistakenly think that events had transpired the day before, or actually 2 days before. I also felt as if I were walking in a dream, just going through the physical motions without any thought process involved, like a zombie. Don't let any of this discourage you, though. I must have gone on benders like these a million times, and I'm not dead. Jones, you really are the king. I'm still drinking, and we rule. I have not turned off the radio. I have you on in the yard, too, so you will have new listeners, because subliminally this will be drawn to you after hearing you for more than 73 hours. All my love, Gary Alcoholic. Keep it up, Jones. You're almost there. Lou S., from North Arlington. When I was in architecture school, we called all-nighters charrettes, and it was considered a point of pride to do at least one a week. But because I was a half-ass student, I found myself needing to cram an entire semester, a four-month project, into 1 week. So I stayed up for almost 6 days. I took a two-hour nap after day two, but no caffeine, no amphetamines, no herbs. Didn't matter, I hallucinated it anyway. I'll be back. This is These Eyes by the Guess Who.
These eyes are crying, these eyes have seen. arms. These arms long to hold you again. These eyes are crying. These eyes have seen a lot of loves, but they're never gonna see another one like I had with you.
The Guess Who, These Eyes, and this is Dion with King of the New York Streets.
People call me the scandalizer, the world was my appetizer, I turned gangs into fertilizer. The New York streets. I broke hearts like a window pane. For breakfast I use nails and chains. To my kingdom I proclaim, King of the New York streets. You walked all the same. Just a local gladiator. If I'm a king of the New York streets, well, I was only 16 years, so what could I have known? In my mind, these passing years, the legend sure has gone. No, people come from miles and round. See my rough tenement crown, always object, never down, King of the New York street. Check it out. Schools gave me nothing needed, to my throne I proceeded. Every warning went unheeded. Yeah, King of the New York street, we walked off. Shooting dice and double dealing, King of the New York street. Well, I was only 16 years, so what could I have known? In my mind, these passing years, the legend sure has gone. You know, each time I jump behind the wheel of a pinstripe custom Oldsmobile, the guys would bow and the girls would squeal. It's the king of the New York street. What? Local bullies are deflated. Backstreet jive that I translated. Top 10 girls were all I dated. King of the New York street. We walk the same. Check it out, we're walking.
Dion and the King of the New York Streets. Here is the Bee Gees with Gotta Get a Message to You.
The preacher talked with me and he smiled, said, come and walk with me, come and walk one more mile. Now for once in your life you're alone, but you ain't got a dime, there's no time for the phone. Then won't you tell her I'm sorry? And for once in my life I'm alone, and I gotta let her know just in time before I go. Third. Now I'm crying, but deep down inside, well, I did it to him, now it's my turn to die.
And also, a good thing about being up that was the Bee Gees, gotta get a message to you. Also, another good thing about being up for so many days is that you start singing along to songs even though you can't carry a tune, and it doesn't matter because you don't really care. National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for the following counties: Middlesex and Mercer, effective until 7:38 p.m. Please be advised. This is Willie Nelson and Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain.
In twilight glow I see blue eyes crying in the rain. When we kissed goodbye and parted, I knew we'd never meet again. Love is like a dying ember, and only memories remain. And through the ages, I'll remember Someday when we meet up yonder, we'll stroll hand in hand again. No part, blue eyes cry in the rain.
Willie Nelson, Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain.
Ken? Ken? Is that you, Ken? Ken? Is that you? Ken?
This is Jackson, Johnny Cash.
We got married in a fever, hotter than a pepper sprout. We've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out. I'm going to Jackson, I'm gonna mess around. Yeah, I'm going to Jackson, look out Jackson Town.
We'll go on down to Jackson, go ahead and wreck your hell. Go play.
Honey, I'm gonna snowball Jackson.
See if I can.
When I breeze into that city, people gonna stoop and bow.
Huh.
All them women gonna make me teach them what they don't know how. I'm going to Jackson. You turn loose of my coat. 'Cause I'm going to Jackson.
Goodbye, that's all she wrote. But then laugh at you in Jackson, and I'll be dancing on a pony cake. They'll lead you around town like a scalded hound with your tail tucked between your legs. Yeah, go to Jackson, you big talking man.
Yeah, we're going to Jackson. Ain't never coming back. Well, we got married in a fever, hotter than a pepper sprout.
Johnny and June Cash and Jackson. Jonesy here on the radio. We have a very special guest. Check this one out. We have on the line with us Paul Stanley from KISS. Paul, can you hear me?
Of course I can. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Thanks very much for checking in with us.
Oh, my pleasure. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I actually feel pretty good.
Yeah? The voice is holding out?
The voice is holding out. I'm slurring my speech. My teeth seem to be scraping against the back of my tongue or something like that. I don't know what the problem is.
Well, the best is yet to come.
The best is yet to come. How long have you been up consecutively without sleep?
Gee, I don't know. I can remember being in the studio for maybe 3 days or so.
3 days, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
So yeah,
I'm sorry?
I was just going to say, from one blabbermouth to another. So how long do you have to go still?
In order to break the record, I have to go to tomorrow morning at 10:33 Eastern time, and it's now 7:20 on the East Coast. I don't know where you are.
And what are you going to do at 10:34?
10:34, I'm going to grab the closest person near me who has been a part of the crew, and give him a big hug.
I'll make sure that it's not somebody with a who needs a shave.
I think
not on their face.
I think I'll be the one who needs the shave, actually.
Yeah. Wow. Well, so this is your Mount Everest, huh?
Yeah, it's a fun thing to do. You know, it's something special. It gives me a chance to do something cool on the radio, and I like being on the radio, so that's good.
That's great.
And you say I can expect the best is yet to come. What can I expect?
Oh, I'm sure that by the time this is all over, your tongue will be too big for your mouth.
Really?
Oh, sure.
Will I give Gene any competition?
Well, I don't know. You know, you'll have to go tongue to tongue for that one.
So is that is what's my slurring natural then? Did you notice that as well?
I don't notice anything. You sound awfully mellow.
Ah.
You sound very mellow and very laid back. You know, either dazed or just very calm.
Probably dazed. It seems like a roller coaster high of sorts. You go through real lows, and then you come out of it into like these bursts of energy that come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. What's your doggy's
name? Sometimes
I
can make myself sound like a dog.
What's your doggy's name?
My doggy's name is Bogey.
Bogey. Cool.
Bogey, yeah.
Are you a Bogart fan?
Not particularly. Mm-hmm. I mean, no more than the next person. I don't know how he became Bogey, but that's his name.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You just got back from Japan and Australia,
just came
right?
back from Japan and Australia and been here for about 3 or 4 weeks and deciding where the farewell tour will take us next because... Although some people keep saying, why isn't it over yet? There's people in other parts of the world saying, when are you coming to say goodbye?
That's what I was saying,
so,
right?
We've got quite a bit yet to go, should we decide to.
Do you think you'll finish up with a big farewell in New York, or is that to be decided?
I mean, we'd love to. You know, that's certainly the plan.
It seems a real natural.
Yeah. It's so funny. Hold on for 1 second.
Sure.
Don't go away.
I won't. I can't go anyplace. I'm not allowed to leave the studio. We're on the line with Paul Stanley of KISS, which is a great honor for us here. Jonesy on WFMU, Freeform Radio, the way it ought to be, the way I like it.
That was family stuff, you see. Family never stops, you know.
No,
it doesn't.
Showbiz
comes and goes, but family is forever.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, the family just, they're with you forever, and
that's right.
That's why they're family.
That's right.
Are you a family guy?
I love my son, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, and nothing in the world better than the people you hold dear to you.
How old is your son?
He's going to be 7 in about
7?
A week.
What would you object to or approve a career in music for him?
I would object to him doing anything that he didn't do of his own volition and free will. Last thing I would want him to be is, trying to walk in my shadow.
Right.
I think, you know... Most people have so much to offer, the last thing they need to do is walk behind their parent.
But it's if he had a legitimate talent for it, you would promote it?
Yeah, anything he wants to do, you know, that's really for him to choose.
How did you get into the rock and roll thing?
I always loved rock and roll. When I was 6 years old, all I wanted to be, my big goal in life was to be 16. I wanted to be a teenager, you
mm-hmm.
know, and I've always loved rock and roll music from the time I was, literally like 4 or 5 years old, so... My parents, exposed me to a lot of, like, classical music and opera and Broadway and stuff like that, but I always loved, you know, rock and roll, so
mm-hmm.
that got thrown into the mix, and so far, it wasn't a bad choice.
You still love it, I assume.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not love doing something that pays the rent? You know, I mean, everybody has to work, but when you get to work at something you love doing and you get paid on top of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't suck.
Yeah, to get paid to be a, you know, to make music, to be a rock and roller, that's got to be an extraordinary gift, really.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same thing I was doing when I was in junior high school.
Mm-hmm.
So how lucky am I? I do the same thing I did then, and I get paid incredibly well, and I have a great life.
Did it blow your mind when you really made it?
Well, I expected it, but even when you expect something, when it actually happens, that's pretty much a mind blower, you know what I mean? We all like to believe we're going to accomplish what we set out to do,
mm-hmm.
but when we really do, that's pretty extraordinary. You know? Pretty extraordinary. And here you are setting out to do something, and you will accomplish it at 10:33 tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I was pretty determined and knew I wouldn't give up. Once you put something like that out there in the public, and you do it in the public eye, You know, once you say you're going to do it, you got to do it no matter what.
Well, sure. Nobody wants to fall on their face in front of the public, especially when they're the people who are out there bragging that they were going to do it.
Yeah.
Set yourself up. Now you got to do it.
Yeah, but, you enter it. You're scared when you enter it, but you know it's just something you got to do, but you have no idea what to expect. And actually, it's been much better than I had anticipated.
Well, and I'm sure that although you may tire in the next 10, 12 hours, I think you'll see the finish line.
Oh, yeah, at this point, I have no doubt. I have no doubt. I pretty much mastered it.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel, mm-hmm. and it's not a train.
Yes. Yes, once you notice that, once you realize that, you're all right.
You take care of yourself.
Okay.
And I will speak to you soon.
Thanks very much.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. Paul Stanley of KISS. Very pleased to have him as a guest. And once again, we thank Angus for arranging that as well. He'll also arrange for Gene, which makes me happy. Yeah, that one's clear. I'm pretty sure. So I spoke to one half of KISS this weekend. We kicked off on the first day with Gene Simmons, and now we've heard from Paul Stanley. So, Angus, I'm waiting for Ace. See what you can do, baby. Jonesy, WFMU, East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, and worldwide. This is Detroit Rock City by KISS from their greatest hits.
I'm gonna die.
Kiss, Detroit Rock City, coming out of our Paul Stanley interview. Hey, how you like that out there, huh? Paul Stanley, man. And we have Rock and Roll All Night next, also by Kiss. Kiss, Rock and Roll All Night.
All Night, and the night after that, 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 Rock and Roll, Night, Night, Rock and Roll, Rock, 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 Night.
Jonesy, I'm supposed to go nuts, right? So it's okay. I can do whatever I want now. That makes it cool. This is The Clash. All you young punks. New boots and contracts. Yeah. And here are the Ramones, just want to have something to do. If you pitch a tent. That gets you pumped up, man. That gets the blood pumping in the circulation, man. Bring back my masseuse, man. Bring back Lee. And what do we have here? Oh, yeah, this one is appropriate for old Jones, don't you think? Imagine you're all singing this to me. This is Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers Hospital.
Get out of the hospital, Let me back into your life. I can't stand what you do. I'm in love with your eyes. And when you get out of the dating bar, I'll be here to get back into your life. I can't stand what you do. I'm in love with your eyes. Oh, I can't stand what you do. Sometimes I can't stand you, and it makes me think about me, that I'm involved with you. But I'm in love with this power that shows through in your eyes. I go to bakeries all day long. There's a lack of sweetness in my life, and there is pain inside. You can see it in my eyes. Oh, there is pain inside. You can see it in my eyes. It makes me think about me, that I've lost my pride. But I'm in love with this power that resides in your eyes. Oh. You live in modern apartments. Well, I even got scared once or twice. Last time I walked down your street, there were tears my eyes. Well, now these streets, we all know, they help us cry when we're alone late at night. Don't you love them too? That where you got your eyes. Oh, and I can't stand what you do. Sometimes I can't stand you, and it makes me think about me, how I'm involved with you. But I'm in love with this power that shows through in your eyes. Now, your world, it is beautiful. I'll take the subway to your suburb sometime. I'll seek out the things that must have been magic to your little girl mind. Now as a little girl, you must have been magic. I still get jealous of your old boyfriends in the suburbs sometimes. And when I walk down your street, probably be tears in my eyes. I knew it would happen. I can't stand what you do. Sometimes I can't stand you, and it makes me think about me, that I'm involved with you. But I'm in love with this power that shows through in your eyes. So, when you get out of the hospital, let me back into your life. I can't stand what you do, but I'm in love with your eyes.
This song has ended. I'm Glenn Jones. I'm standing. I still have my boots on. But maybe I should just leave them on, because I notice every morning when I put my boots back on, I usually take them off at night and wear sandals or something. I notice they stumble and start staggering all over the place, trying to get used to balancing on them. Jonesy here. We're working the guest thing. Off the been on the air since 9 a.m. on Friday, and it is now Sunday night, and if I don't leave now, I'm going to miss The Simpsons. So perhaps I should give some serious thought to getting out of here while I can. Never mind, Tony's here, and he's going to make some delicious espresso. So, okay. Alrighty. Our next guest is on hold. Oops. I blew that. And we have on the line with us J.J. French, the guitarist from Twisted Sister.
Hey, Glenn.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm managing.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of feel like Keith Richards on a regular day, huh?
I wish I felt like Keith Richards on a regular day. I think he usually doesn't feel anything.
I saw I saw you on TV on Friday.
Oh, yeah?
On the Today Show.
Oh, cool.
And yeah. I said, there's an SMF I want to get to know better.
Well, you and I should drink together.
Listen, man, if you survive this thing, I'm there.
Okay.
But I just thought it was really an amazing feat. What prompted you to want to do this, by the way?
I love radio probably as much as you love rock and roll. And, I do my little show here and wanted to do something special, and the opportunity came about. So it was my chance to get on the Today Show.
I couldn't believe the ground rules. Really intense, man.
Yeah, it is pretty rigid.
I mean, who are these? Are these English sadomasochists who design this stuff here?
You know what they do? You go to their website and you tell them what record you want to break, and they send you back this list of rules. So I'm thinking, as a goof, every day you should sign on and you should tell them you want to grow the longest fingernails,
uh-huh.
and they would have to send you back a list of 12 bullet points rules on what you have to do.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So how you feeling?
I feel pretty good, actually.
Cool. And are you, how often, I'm on the island, I'm not getting your stations, how often are you actually playing records, and how is this whole thing going?
I spend a lot of times playing records and coming on in between each song and just, IDing it and going away.
Right.
And then I'll get some energy and I'll start babbling away.
Are you allowed to eat?
Yeah, I can do anything I want in the studio.
Uh-huh.
I just can't leave the studio except for once every 8 hours. So I'm kind of a prisoner in here, which is pretty
cool.
You know, we're also on the web, actually, if you want to check us
out.
Yeah,
I just found out, as a matter of fact. Have you had a lot of people call in?
You know, since that Today Show hit, I have gotten thousands of emails, and, we're not a big station. We don't get, a lot of emails like that. If I do a show and I get, seven emails, that's good.
Right.
But I've gotten thousands of emails from, places like Kyoto, Japan, and stuff like that. So nothing like the press to get word out there.
I think that when you try to break a Guinness Book of World Records record, people with an awful lot of time on their hands want to get to know you.
Yeah, we're doing something really stupid, you know? I mean, this is kind of the closest I will ever come to the rock and roll thing that you've done. There are some people out in the yard who are going to bring a tent in the alley here, and they're going to spend the night and wait for us to break the record in the morning.
Unbelievable. We used to do these things called SMF parties at the end of every summer.
Mm-hmm.
And what it would be a 24-hour party.
Uh-huh.
And we would host it, and we'd invite all our friends' bands to play. It was unusual. We got, because nobody really ever did this kind of thing, and we would get a club to allow us to do it, because they'd have to go get a special license.
Right.
And we would be up for 24 hours. And, usually by the end of that, by the time the club shuts, you're cruising for another 10 because you're just buzzing over the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine. What are you up to now? 50 hours or so?
Well over 50. Yeah, not real sure.
Great. Well, I hope you're playing a lot of our records. Are you?
I have one queued up right now.
Well,
man.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm
all prepared.
We really love you, man.
We love you.
We love you, and just.
We love you too, man.
I mean, what is the song? Is it "We're Not Going to Take It" by any chance?
No, I have "The Kids Are Back."
Oh, there you go.
I got it.
That's a good song. You know that we have there's a tribute album that's coming out.
Yeah, I heard about that. This group's like Motorhead and Sebastian Bach.
Motorhead, Anthrax, Nashville Pussy, Lit, Cradle of Filth, Sebastian Bach, Motorhead is on. I mean, there's the lineup. Seven Dust is on it.
Uh-huh.
Great lineup of artists, and Twisted Sister is going to be on it, but we're going to be the only band not playing a Twisted Sister song.
That's perfect, actually.
We're going to do Sin City, because AC/DC is one of our favorite bands.
Wow, that's great. Now, there's a concept.
So that's going to be fun, and VH1 is currently taping it's Behind the Music on Twisted Sister.
Uh-huh.
So everyone will finally hear the nitty-gritty, the down-and-dirty details.
Right, J.J.
French. How much they hate each other.
But things went wrong behind the scenes.
Well, the first half hour is wonderful. It would have made my mother proud.
Yeah, that's when everything's happy, and you're making hit records, and then something goes wrong behind the scenes.
Yeah, well, you know, it is exciting, and it's great that they have that there's continued interest in the band. And I guess you heard about the whole John Rocker affair last year. That was kind of amazing.
Yeah.
You know, we just asked him not to play the song, and all of a sudden, you know, there's all this publicity, which we never asked for, because we never contacted the press about it.
But isn't it a good thing to get the name in the papers?
I thought it was amazing that here we were 15 years later, and I wind up on a half a page photo in the USA Today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, wow, you know, we must have had a hell of an impact. Sometimes bands either grossly overestimate or underestimate what they've meant to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and usually you overestimate it.
I thought you had a good reaction, actually. I had a good reaction to that because you decided you didn't want this guy to, you didn't like what this guy was doing, so you decided you didn't want him to use your music.
Right.
And I thought that was a good thing, really.
Yeah, no, it was pretty, you know, all we said was like, look, you know, you're entitled to your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Just, we would like to tell you that you use our music as your theme song, so please just don't, because we don't agree with it. But, you know, your opinion's your opinion, whatever the hell you want to do, and next thing you know, it's all over the press. So I'm assuming that the person who worked for the Atlanta Braves who received the facts probably didn't like John Rocker either.
Oh, so he passed it along.
That's exactly right. What I think happened.
Yeah, otherwise he wouldn't have passed it along because that's real bad publicity for him.
I certainly didn't notify the Associated Press. And about 2 hours after we sent the facts in, I got a call from the Associated Press.
And what did you tell them?
They just said, what's going on? I said, hey, you know, we simply sent a letter, a memo stating that racism is something that we abhor. We fired ex-members for making racist comments, which is extremely consistent with the band's history.
Now,
and we just didn't like this and that, and the fact that you use our music, I Want to Rock, as your theme song, please stop it. This is one statement we can make. And the next thing you know, we got all this publicity about it. Well, they have ceased using it, and the Braves organization never called us officially to talk about it.
They have continued to use it?
They discontinued to use it.
Right.
I mean, legally, you know, they could have continued to use it.
So what kind of pussy-ass theme did he come up with after that?
You mean comments that he made?
No, what kind of music they come up with?
Oh, you mean to replace it? I have no idea. You know, for all I know, they could have gotten Bob Seger's "Like a Rock." I have no idea. You know, it was just, the whole thing was ridiculous.
So now, how does a decision like that get made? You guys were aware ahead of time, before he made a fool of himself, that he was using it, and then one of you just said to the other, you know, let's stop this dude?
No. What happened was, I have cousins in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and they called me a couple of years ago and said, yeah, there's this guy John Rocker here. And when he comes on, they play I Want to Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, that's cool, because the New York Yankees were using We're Not Going to Take It.
Right.
And at the time, Comtrex nasal spray licensed We're Not Going to Take It for a year. For TV commercials.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was like, oh, another one of these great things that helped to, you know, continue a legacy. I just thought it was great. When Rocker's comments made the press everywhere, I called all the guys in the band. I said, listen to this idiot is saying. He's dissing New Yorkers specifically, and we're New Yorkers.
Right.
And, you know, and without the cliche of we're not going to take it anymore, you know, which is obviously the cliched line that some of the press used, we just contacted them and said, you know, I said to the guys, I want to let them know that we objected to it.
Yeah, that kind of thing happens all the time, actually.
And so we sent the memo, and the next thing you know, we got the press, and it was amazing to me how much press we got.
Yeah, see, now from my perspective, I would think just being in the press is a good thing, but, you know, then again, maybe you don't want the press messing with your personal affairs or your business affairs.
No, it didn't bother us.
Didn't bother you?
No, we're in the public eye.
Right.
And so you have to take the good and the bad. I mean, we did get attacked by Michael Medved, who said, how dare we? You know, who were we, a band that, you know, represented what was considered to be the worst aspects of, you know, Western civilization in 1985? You know, how could we make a statement? But obviously, Michael Medved can't discern between what is a show and what's real.
Right.
You know, we put on a performance. John Rocker goes out there. He espouses these views based on who he really is. I think people tend to get the lines blurred. We are performers. And what we do on stage and how we perform on stage is an act.
And beyond that, I mean, you own the song. You created the song.
Well, yeah, but actually they can license it. They can license anything they want.
Oh, anybody can just come
along. If you pay ASCAP and BMI,
right.
Anything available to ASCAP and BMI, mm-hmm. All you have to do is pay the fee.
Right.
They're not using it for television commercials, so they didn't have to negotiate with us a licensing deal.
Mm-hmm.
They simply pay ASCAP, and that's why they could continue to use it if they wanted to. Everything, I mean, I think there's what? There's like 3 million songs they could use.
Right.
So if you go to a gym, for example, and you hear music in the background, they pay a blanket fee to play whatever they want to play.
See, I was aware of that, but I didn't know that, you know, in major business like ball games, that they can just use your music as a theme.
It's the same thing.
I thought it would.
Like, it's basketball, football, it's the same deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it was astonishing to us, the reactions, and we saw a spike in record sales, which, again, was fascinating that it happened because nothing was done with that in mind. But we have been rehearsing over the last year.
Yeah, you have some albums coming out.
We have, right? We have the tribute album coming out. We have a live album that was recorded around 1979, 1980, which is going to be the second in a series
mm-hmm.
called Club Days 2 in the Bars. Some really amazing performances that we recently uncovered with songs that people have been asking for. We have a Hammersmith Live at Hammersmith record that has been discontinued. It's going to be re-released again on Spitfire Records, and the tribute record is going to be out on Koch. So there's a lot of stuff happening, and this VH1 Behind the Music will be broadcast sometime in late August.
Now, how do they work with Behind the Music? Do they actually get your involvement? Do they talk to your friends? Do they talk to your enemies? Do they talk to you?
They start off by interviewing you.
And then they work their way to the
end. And then they figure out the storyline. So right. I know last week they were in town and they interviewed me for 7 hours.
Mm-hmm.
All for 3 sentences.
Right. It'll end up being 3 sentences
so
in the end.
So it's going to be interesting to see what winds up on the air. But they interviewed all of us for about 7 hours each. And now next week they're coming in to talk to certain record executives and former crew members.
Do you get to preview something like that?
I hope so.
But you have no say in it.
In terms of how this ultimately plays out, I don't know how it's ultimately going to play out.
So why don't you fess up right now and tell me all the dirt that you have?
No, here's the real embarrassing thing,
mm-hmm.
was that the band was straight. I mean, I just exposed ourselves in the worst possible way.
So it'll be the only Behind the Music where nothing bad happens.
Well, you know, the irony is that when we played in Texas, you know, Dee got arrested for obscenity.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he said something on stage, you know, and it got the locals pretty annoyed. So when we played San Antonio a couple of days later, they sent down a church group and a PTA organization to judge the band because what they had done was they had passed a law called the anti-rock law, which stated that if you sang songs or performed songs about having sex with children, dead people, or animals, you'd be banned from playing San Antonio.
Sounds like a Reverend Wildman type of thing.
And they thought that this applied to Twisted Sister.
Mm-hmm.
And when the promoter didn't cancel us, they were really annoyed. So they sent a church group down. And when our show was over, some people from the church group came in the dressing room and they said to me, you know, y'all curse a little bit too much, but you're a very entertaining show. And I said, really? Are you telling me you like the band? And they said, well, yeah. And I said, don't you ever tell anybody you like my band.
Really? Now that would see a spike.
Really, that would destroy my reputation.
You'd see a spike in a different direction if that got out.
But Behind the Music will cover the end game, and I think people who have a morbid fascination as to how all these things tend to end.
I have a morbid fascination. I actually enjoy watching them because I love the rock and roll. I love the music industry, and you know, it's just fascinating for me. Even bands I don't care about, sometimes I'll watch it and I'll get into it.
Well, I thought it was when they came to us. I said, well, let me think now. I think it should open up by someone saying, this band did not do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
This band did not drink.
Mm-hmm.
This band did not
go broke. They just hated each other's guts.
Stay
tuned.
Do you hate each other's guts?
Oh, I mean, it's like anything else, like a family.
Yeah, I understand. When you work with a band like that,
15 years together.
Sure.
And eventually things, you know, drive people crazy. I think Don Henley did an interview shortly after the Eagles reunited.
Right.
In which he kind of said something that really struck a nerve with me. You know, they asked him what it was like getting back together because the Eagles had been away for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
They reunited for a Travis Tritt video. And then they got along really well. They had a good time. They started rehearsing. The next thing you know, they got offered huge amounts of money for a reunion tour.
Mm-hmm.
1 month into that tour, he did an interview with Billboard. They said, "How's it going?" He said, "For the first 3 weeks, it was beautiful. But every reason why I hate these sons of bitches is worse now than it ever was, and I can't wait for this tour to be over."
Right.
And he said, "When it's over, I'll never see these guys again." And I think, you know, there may be some truth to that. But so we have been rehearsing on a fairly regular basis because we're going to try to do a show somewhere, somehow. I'm not sure where. And we're having a great time.
I'm sure you are. Quick legal ID here. WFMU East Orange, WXHE Mount Hope, worldwide on the web. And I assume you're going to tour. If you're going to do a show, it's going to lead to a tour. And especially
no
if you're
plan.
On behind the music. I mean, I've watched behind the music of bands that I didn't like, and I ran out and watched them. Now I'm brain dead right now. But what was Steve Perry's band?
Oh, Journey.
Journey. Yeah, I never liked Journey. Never liked them at all. And I watched that, and I went out and bought Journey's Greatest Hits.
Right.
You know, for some reason I was like, yeah, okay, man.
Like you understood them better, right?
I don't know what it was. I mean, you know what I think it was? Because I would understand them a little better. I would see them speaking and stuff,
right,
and learn a little about them. But I would also hear clips, snippets of all their hit songs.
Right.
And so it would remind me, oh, yeah, they did that one. I forgot about that one.
Well, I think Twisted Sister had a unique situation in the tri-state area. People knew us intimately here.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know us intimately in Dubuque necessarily.
Right.
But in the tri-state area, people saw us many times and really understood the band and really had an affinity. There was a cult following that was just, we were just as important to the fans who followed us as the Dead were to the fans.
I always thought you guys were from Jersey because there was a big cult following there.
Well, originally, you know, the band started in Hohokus, New Jersey.
In Hohokus, New Jersey.
In 1973.
Right.
And then went through many changes. We went through 11 lineup changes, which most people
right.
don't know.
Did any form of Twisted Sister, and I don't know if I'm out of line with this, but I always remember, I think my sister said this or something, that that Twisted Sister at one point did a Ziggy Stardust thing?
Yes, we did.
Yeah,
we
okay.
did a Bowie medley,
right.
Songs from that album. In fact, the band started literally because it wanted to be a New Jersey version of the New York Dolls,
mm-hmm.
but a club version. So what we did was we did Mata Hoople and David Bowie and Lou Reed stuff.
Right.
In the early days, and the singer and I used to be chained together. We had collars
cool.
on, and we, you know, and basically the drummer said to me, "Oh yeah, you know, like when you wear like a lot of makeup and you look, you know, like you dress like women, you'll be tons of women. You kind of fight them off."
Right.
And one of the first gigs we played was a gay club in Jersey City, and some guy was licking my boot, and I turned around to the drummer and I went, "Is this what you mean?" He said, "No, man, it gets better, trust me." And it did. I mean, it was remarkable how things shifted. But
yeah.
We went through a lot of different versions of the group. We started out as a Bowie type of band, then
right.
when my singer, original singer left, I became the lead singer, and my voice is horrible. In fact, God created people like Dylan and Lou Reed so people like me could do cover material. So we went through a Bowie phase, went through a Lou Reed phase, then Dee came in, went through an Alice Cooper phase, a Judas Priest phase, an AC/DC phase. And then Mendoza joined the band, and then after that, things got really heavy, and we started to really concentrate on our own material.
So I take it you were the founding member, then?
The only one left yeah. standing.
Wow. That's great.
So, it's been a great, interesting career.
It sounds like you've been busy. You also manage, don't you?
I do. I managed and produced Seven Dust's first album.
Uh-huh.
With my bass player, and now I'm managing, I have a new company called Vast Entertainment. I get my plug in right now, right?
Right.
And that company is signing a band called Step Kings,
mm-hmm.
and a pop singer from New Jersey named Tina, and we'll work on a hip-hop project, so pretty much it's across-the-board stuff.
Mm-hmm. So,
I'm staying very involved in the business.
So is that's because you've learned a lot, you know, learned a lot about management through
well, I
managed
Twisted while playing it, and talk about a psychotic mentality.
Yeah, that's got to be Twisted.
Well, you know, when you manage and you're a musician at the same time, it's really insane. And I was asked once what the difference was between managing and playing.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the best way I can describe it. When you go to the circus and you see a guy, when you see the elephants walking around, there's always the guy with the broom sweeping up the elephant crap.
Right.
That's a manager. And the elephant is a musician.
Right. It's like the old story about, you know, a guy complaining about his job all day long. He's just shoveling, he's, how do I say this?
Shoveling waste
all day long, and somebody says to him, well, you know, why don't you quit? And the guy looks at him and says, what, and give up show business? I made Twisted Sister laugh.
I love it.
I like this not sleeping stuff.
That is great. Well, listen, man, good luck to you.
Thanks a lot.
I'm really proud to be part of this historical event.
You were the best guest we had. We had a bunch of guests, and you're a lot of fun, man.
Well, I haven't slept in 41 days.
I'll catch up to you.
All right, listen, you know what? I'm sure you got my number, and you know when you're recuperated, give me a call. We'll get together.
I'd love to do that. Thank you.
Best of luck to you.
Thanks a lot, man.
Okay, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I can't wait to see that show now. I'm going to run out and buy all the Twisted Sister records. Really, I think he was the best guest we had thus far. A lot of fun. Okay, and here is Twisted Sister, and the kids are back. And they are back, aren't they? I mean, they're going to be on the VH1. We're going to hear about all the dirt. And they're going to be releasing all those records. So I guess Twisted Sister is back. Twisted Sister, the kids are back. Now I'm a Twisted Sister fan, man. It does it. Now, when I'm going to wake up in like 40 days from now, when I wake up, I'm going to think about that guy, and I'm actually going to want to have a drink with him. In fact, if he could pick me up at the station the second I quit, I can go out with, like, Twisted Sister. Then I could go out with a bang. I can go home and then slip into oblivion. Greg here said that I was going to suffer from Gary Coleman disease because I'm gonna go home, and then suddenly no one's going to pay attention anymore.
What you talk about? No way.
I always thought that was amazing. You just ask him for his autograph, and he's like a little midget, you know? And he's like starts kicking you in the shin and trying to bite your ankles off.
He's not great.
Never quite figured that out. Here is the Velvet Underground with Rock and Roll.
Jenny said when she was just 5 years old, there was nothing happening at all. Every time she puts on the radio, there was nothing going down at all. Not at all. Then one fine morning she puts on a New York station. You know she don't believe what she heard at all. She started shaking to that fine, fine music. You know her life was saved by rock and roll.
Come now. Oh.
Rock and Roll by the Velvet Underground. And here is The Jam with Down in the Tube Station at Midnight. Jam. Down in the Tube Station at Midnight. That'll be me, man. After like 5 days, I'll walk to the PATH station, drop my money in the turnstile, take the PATH train home. Here's another song. The Cramps, New Kind of Kick.
Life is short, filled with stuff, don't know what for, I ain't had enough. I learned all I know by the age of 9, but I could better myself if I
New Kind of Kick by the Cramps. Let me pop that out and pass it off to my handler, Peter Beegan, taking good care of me, keeping me on a leash. Michael, hello. I'll talk to you about it in a moment. Michael has my outfit for my date tomorrow with Katie, because I told him today when I saw Michael, when I saw the great invisible Harlack, that I didn't know my stuff wasn't, I couldn't look nice for Katie. And he said he'd take care of it. And he took my clothes and he came back and he didn't look nice and Katie didn't like it. She's my date. And this is You Can't Put Your Arm Around a Memory, Johnny Thunders.
Doesn't pay to try. All the smart boys know why. It doesn't mean I didn't try. I just never know why. Against the wall.
Johnny Thunders, Can't Put Your Arm Around a Memory. And soon this will be all a memory to me. Not that soon, but it will be soon. And it will be a memory that I would love to put my arm around. I'm having the time of my life here. I am really enjoying this. So if you're feeling sorry for Jonesy not having any sleep when you go to bed, please don't. I'm really having a great, great, great time. It'll be hard to ever match this again in my entire life. The people that have just been so cool to me, man, it's incredible. And thanks to everybody. So don't you feel sorry for me. Don't feel sorry for old Jonesy. He's happy. Here we have the MC5 and Back in the USA. Jonesy, the MC5, Living in the USA. And here is Social Distortion with King of Fools. I'm searching, baby. else are you going to hear Social Distortion's King of Fools go into Meatloaf's Rock and Roll Dreams Come Through? Meatloaf, rock and roll dreams come through for you. And what else do I have? Oh, yeah, this one. This is kind of like a recurring theme, I would think. And it works for me right now. Some of my friends didn't think I'd make it. Some of my friends were honest enough that they, very few, like one or two, looked at me and kind of shook their head and said, I don't think so, Glenn. And they felt for me, but they were being honest. A lot of other people said, yeah, you're going to make it, because they were encouraging me, but secretly didn't think I could make it. Well, I'm going to make it. It's obvious, isn't it? Isn't it obvious to you?
In a simple way, and if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did, looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid, and I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing. Were meant to cut me down, and if my love was just a circus, you'd be a clown by now. No, I'm still standing better than I ever did, looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing.
I'm still standing, Elton John. And I teased you with that one. You see, I didn't intro that one. Just to give you a little scare.
Great, I'll tell him. Pretty good, everything's going great.
And Tom Waits here with Who Are You?
Shots for a dollar with a real live dog. wish them away. Are you still leaving nothing but bones in the way? Did you bury the carnival with the lines and all? Excuse me while I sharpen my nails. And just who are you? Pretending to love, well, I hear that it pays well. How do your pistol and your Bible and your sleeping pills go? Are you still jumping out a window in expensive clothes? Well,
who are you? And this here is Roger Waters, The Wall, live in Berlin. And this song is Waiting for the Worms.
Oh, sin. I'm cut cause it's all my game.
Roger Waters, waiting for the worms.
Take off this uniform and leave the show. But I'm waiting in this sound because I have to know. Have I been guilty all this time?
And this here is the Pink Floyd from The Wall. The Trial.
Good morning, the worm, your honor. The crown will plainly show the prisoner who now stands before you was caught red-handed showing feelings. Showing feelings of an almost human nature. This will not do.
Hold the schoolmaster! I am resent come to no good to me and your honor. Then let me on my way at the queen to sheep. But the hearts are tame, the bleeding hearts are artists. They are
in the window. There must have been a door there
Jonesy. Hey, man. Like my mommy used to say, don't get your Woody calls in an uproar. That was The Wall by Pink Floyd. And the cut before that was from Roger Waters Live. So, it wasn't all one cut or anything like that. Although, at this stage in life, I'm sure my mix wasn't anywhere near good enough to make you think that. Jonesy. Here are the Beach Boys. WFMU, East Orange, WXHD, Mount Hope. And here are the Beach Boys with Hang On To Your Ego from Pet Sounds.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm having my first hallucination.